Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 17 lines from the top of daf Yud Dalid. You might notice two dots at the end of the line. The next line begins with Toni Chada, but before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Ubrois are pregnant women, Umenikois nursing women, Misanois Dafka Beshloisha Taniois Oemtsiois. They fast only during the three middle fast days. We have been discussing the series of fast days that are ruled upon by the authorities in the event of a drought, a initial three public fast days, and a middle three fast days, followed by a series of seven fast days. So this is a reference to the middle series of three fast days that the women who are either pregnant or nursing, only then they fast. Not so with regard to the first three, because times are not serious enough. The drought isn't serious enough at that point. Nor the last seven, which is too long a period to expect women in this state to fast. Bagimora muva shlosha brisis. In the Gemara, there will be three Tanaic sources, Sheniroi Soisrois Kol Echod Im Mishnehu. Each source seems to contradict the other, Avol Basoif Mitaretsis Kulam. But at the end, the Gemara will resolve all three. So now, having said that, let's now look at the Gemara. You'll see that we've noted Aleph, Beis, and Gimel over the next few lines, three Tanaic sources. Toni Chada, one source says, Ubrois umenikois misanois borishoinois ve'ein misanois bachronos. The nursing women and the ubros, or the pregnant women, and menikos, the nursing women, fast during the rishonos, the first fasts, but not during the last fasts. V'tanya idoch, another source says, misanos bachronos ve'ein misanos borishonos. They fast during the last ones, not the first ones. Well, that right away is contradictory. V'tanya idoch, and a third source says, Ein misanos lo borishonos v'lo bachronos, not during the first nor the last. Now, are all these sources contradictory? Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi has a surprise answer. One answer resolves all the sources. Nekait emtsaiso biyodoch. Focus on the middle fast days. The Mitritzun Kulhu. Mitritzun from where Teretz, all three sources are resolved thusly. Now all we have to do is go back over the sources and understand things in relative fashion. When we say something is first or last, it's all relative to something else. So the first source, now we'll start with the maskona. The maskona, the final point here is, as we said in our introduction, that the ubros and menikos fast during the middle set of fasts, the middle three fasts. So now, looking at the first source that said they fast during the first and not the end, that means they'll fast during the middle, because the middle, relative to the last set, are first, are prior to. So we can refer to the middle set as Rishonos relative to the last set. So true, the middle set relative to the last, we can call that Rishonos, so they fast during the beginning, again, relatively speaking. The second source says they fast at the end, not at the beginning. Here, when we speak about the end, we refer to, again, the middle group relative to the first set. So the middle set can be called the achronos, the last ones. Again, relatively speaking. Now the last source maybe is the clearest of all, because here we don't have to talk in terms of relativity, but rather the source says they don't fast during the actual first nor the actual last. They fast only during, once again, the middle set. Continuing in the Gemara, Ma Elu Yeseros Alo Rishonos, what is additional about the latter set over the earlier, Elo Sheba Elu Masriin Venoilinis Achanuyos. With regard to the last set, so there is Masriin, and there is the locking of the stores. On the side, under our topic heading, we have, under the Nosei, the topic heading, Pirush Masriin Dekotoni Debachronus Hoye Masriin. We want to define the word Masriin, where we had seen the Mishnah taught that in the last set of fasts, so there is Masriin. What is meant by that word? We'll see Beshofros, the blowing of the shofar. The word Masriin reminds you of Truah, a shofar blowing. And there's another approach says that Masriin is Be'anenu. Anenu is not to be confused with the Anenu that we spoke about in our previous shiur, the inserted passage into the Shemona Esrei, but rather it's the passage that we would open up with Anenu, Avinu, Anenu, which is found, and maybe it's familiar to many of you, from the text at the end of the Slichos, the Slichos that are commonly said during the month of Elul, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and other times during the year. So at the end of that section of prayers, the end of the Slichos, this passage appears, Anenu, Avinu, Anenu, etc. So we're referring to that particular Anenu as we go through the Gemara. That will be what we are referring to. So what does the term Masriin mean? So our Mishnah pointed out that the last set of fasts have this element to it, Masriin. B'mai Masriin. Rav Yehuda Omar B'shofros, through the blowing of the shofar. V'rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei de Rav Omar Be'anenu, through the prayer Anenu that we referred to earlier. The Gemara starts a question that lasts a number of lines here. Kosalko daitoch, the thinking at this point is man di omar be'anenu lo omar b'shofros. He who says that Masriin is through anenu, he will not do Masriin through a shofar. The shofar, when you speak about blowing of the shofar, maybe a more accurate term, Rashi points this out, is miriin, without the suf in it. But the Mishnah uses the word Masriin. So he feels that it's anenu, it's a prayer, and not the shofar blast. Umadomar b'shofros lo omar b'anenu. And he who holds that Masriin is accomplished through the shofar, he does not say that you do it through prayer. Once again, the Mishnah says that on the last fast there's Masriin. So what does that mean? Is it this additional prayer, or is it a reference to shofar blowing that takes place during the davening, during the prayers? Now, having stated these two opinions, according to our initial thinking, we ask a question. V'hotanya, we have a source that says, Ein pochasin misheva tanios al hatzibor. There are not to be less than seven fasts with regard to the community. Shebohen yudches or shmonesrei hasrois. There are 18 hasrois. Now, here the word Masriin hasrois, the same root. We don't, what does that mean? So there are going to be 18 hasros, the simin ledover yericho, and in order to define or to know what the word hasros means, think about Yericho. Yericho, some might call that Jericho, in the time of Yehoshua, the walls of Yericho were absorbed into the ground. You could say the walls of Yericho fell, and the Yericho shofros have Yericho. The story involving Yericho in the time of Yeshua was through the blowing of shofars. Utiyufta leman de Omar anenu. This would appear to be then a refutation of the opinion that said Masriyan is through a prayer. From this source, it's clear the word Hasros and Masriyan means a shofar. So the Gemara answers, Ela b'shofros dekuleyama lo pligi dekori lo hasra. As far as the word Masriyan in our Mishnah, everyone agrees that Masriyan in our Mishnah is a reference to the shofar blowing. Ki pligi, the machlokis that we saw above, we saw Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda bray the Rav Shmuel bar Shilas in the name of Rav, their machlokis is be'anenu, which means Masriyan in general, because of other problems. Our Mishnah is dealing with drought. There are other types of devastations that may visit upon the Jewish community. And in those contexts, if you see the word Masriyan, what does it mean there? Mor sovar kori lo hasra. The opinion that we saw above, in the name of Rav, says that Anenu is referred to by the word Masriyan or Hasra. Umor sovar, Rav Yehuda, that we saw above, the number one, will tell you that Anenu is not referred to by the term Hasra. Now we go over these opinions. Laman di Omar Be'anenu, the one who says that Anenu is called Hasra, Kol Shekein B'Shofros, certainly the shofar would be, the blowing of the shofar would be referred to by that term. U'leman d'omer B'Shofros, but the opinion that says that Hasra or Masriyan, whenever you see that in any other context as well, it means the shofar, Avol Be'anenu Loi. But recitation of the prayer Anenu would not be referred to by the term Masriyan. So the first opinion here says that Masriyan does refer to a prayer. Now we ask, and we're going to ask on that opinion. V'hotanya. We have the following source. It says, Ushar kol minei puranis ha-misrakshis. Other types of devastations that visit upon us, Kagon, Chichuch, Chogov, Zvul, Vitsiria, Vitushin, Vishiduach, Nechoshim, Vakrovim. These are all types of different varmints, flies, hornets, gnats, snakes, scorpions. The all kinds of devastating circumstances. Lo hoyu masriin elo tsoyakin. So we have a source that says they didn't masriyan, but they would do tzoakim. So, miditzaaka bepeh, tzaaka, that's a pretty clear word. That means shouting, and that's something you do with your mouth. Hasra is then something else. It's not mouth-oriented. Hasra is bishofros. So we see from here that that which is done by the mouth, prayer, is not called hasra. And that is a question on opinion number one. So the Gemara answers, Tanoihi, the issue is a machlokist on how to define the word masriyan, the sanya, and now we have another source, and from this source we will see a basis for that other opinion, opinion number one. Desanya al elu masriyan b'shabbos. We dash on the masriyan, that's the key word in this source. On the following circumstances, we will allow masriyan on Shabbos. And here are problems that could arise. Al ir shikifu agayis, a city that was surrounded by an armed force, oi nohar, or surrounded by a river that overflowed its banks. The city is threatened with flooding. The Al Sfina Hamaturefes Bayam, a boat that is cast out at sea that's in danger of sinking. Rabbi Yossi Omer LeEzra Avolo LeTzaaka says that the Masriyan that can be done is to call people for help, but not LeTzaaka, not in prayer. Bemai. The word masri'in in this source, how, through what do you accomplish masri'in? Ilema b'shofros, if you think it's shofar blowing. Shofars b'shabbos mishari, is shofar blowing something allowed on Shabbos? And the source was talking about Shabbos. So, and it says you are masri'in. Elo lav ba'anenu. So rather, the masri'in is through a prayer. The kori lo hasra. So you see that the prayer anenu is referred to by the term hasra. Shmamino, this is conclusive. So in this piece of Gemara, we saw that the term masri'in in general, can it refer to prayer, specifically the prayer of anenu, avinu, anenu? That is a machlokes tanoyim. Oh, and say, it would seem to be a machlokes tanoim, and we saw it also was a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the shittas that quoted Rav. Bishnei de Rav Yehuda Nasiya hava tsa'ara. In the years of Rav Yehuda Nasiya, there was a problem. There was some type of devastation. Continuing at the top of Amud Beis, Gozar Tlas Esrei Ta'anios Veloyani. He ruled that they shall fast 13 fasts, but they were not answered. And Rashi points out that the Tsar mentioned here was not because of drought. It wasn't a rainfall-related matter, but because of some other type of devastation. Now, on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Ad Kamo Ta'anios Nitan Ligzor, up till how many fasts can they rule upon? Can they issue an obligation to obligate the community to do? Al Gishomim and Al Shar Mine Pras. So the question will come up regarding drought, lack of rain, and with regard to other kinds of devastations. So we continue. In the Gemara, we saw that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, because of some other type of devastation, had ruled that they shall observe 13 fasts. The number 13 should be familiar to us, the 3 and the 3 and the 7. Sovar lemigzar tvei. He had intent, that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, had intent to rule that they shall continue fasting, to fast more. Omar le Rabbi Ami. Hare Omru Ein Matrichen Esatzibur Yosir Midai. Rav Ami said, but it has been said that we don't trouble the community too much. Omer Rabbi Abba, Braid Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba. Rabbi Abba, upon hearing what Rav Ami said, he says, Rabbi Ami de Ovad, Rabbi Ami that responded, that he said what he said, Legarme Hudovad. He said that for himself, meaning that he, Rabbi Ami, didn't want to fast anymore. And because he didn't want to fast, so he will say he made up that comment about Ein Matrichen Es HaTzibur Yoser Midai. Elohochi Omer Reb Chiyo Bar Abba, Omer Reb Yochan, but rather thusly Reb Yochanan teaches, Loi Shonu Elo Ligshomim. The idea of having a restriction up till 13 fasts, that's something that has relevance to the drought, the rainfall. Avolishar mine puranias, but other types of devastations, misanin v'hoyuchin ad shiyanu min hashamayim. Fasting is to continue until heaven responds, answers them. Tanyo nami hochi, and we have a source that supports this. Kishomru sholosh ukshomru sheva, when the rabbi spoke about a series of three fastings, two of them, we have the first and the middle. And when they spoke about seven, the last seven fast days, lo omru elo ligshomim, the number 13 fast was said with regard to drought. Avol shar mine puronis misanin v'hochim ad shianu. But with regard to other types of puronis, other types of troubles, their fasting continues until they are answered from shamayim. Well, this Tanaic source then would seem to be a refutation of Rabbi Ami. Lemo teve tuvte de Rabbi Ami. Shall we say that this Tanaic source is a refutation of the Amora Rabbi Ami? Omar loch Rabbi Ami, tanoi hi. Rabbi Ami says that the issue is a machloikis tanoim. So the question is, or the issue is, more than 13 fasts for other kinds of problems, can that be imposed? So Rabami claims it's a machlokes tanoim desanyo. Now we'll read a source, but the main information will be in the Rashi, so we know that ahead of time. We can now read the source. Ein goyzrin yoyser mishloishes reitania salat zibor. We don't rule more than 13 fasts to be imposed on the community. L'fisha'ein matrichin esat zibor yoyser midai. Divrei Rebbe. Now here you see that which Rabbi Ami quoted above, in fact, is here in the source, that we don't trouble the community too much. Rav Shmuel Omer, lo min Hashem huzeh, the restriction, let's say, to the number 13 isn't because of tircha troubling the community, elo mitnei shiyotza zmano shel revia. It's only because more than 13 fasts already takes you into a point on the calendar that it's no longer suitable to have rain. After all, and we've learned this in the past, that once you reach the month of Nisan and then rain falls, that presents itself, is itself, that itself is negative. So the according to Shimon Leo, if not for that fact, if not for the fact that rainfall, that fasting so late in time would not, or the appearance of rain so late would not be a problem, we would continue fasting. So now we take a look at Rashi. Lo min Hashem huzeh, upper part of the narrow lines. She'ein zeh hatam, she'ein manichin b'shvil torach. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to Rebbe that the reason you gave is because of tircha is not the reason. Ela shekvar yotzus manos revil shel yore, the time for the first rainfall for the yore, the early season rainfall is past. Share mar cheshvan ovar al kulon l'sof hatanios, the month of cheshvan has passed. By the time you get to the end of the fastings, shemiksosan hoyu bekislev, some of those fastings were in the month of Kislev, kidiktoni masnisen, as the Mishnah taught, the ikah lemishma midu Rabbi Shimon, and from Rabbi Shimon we can derive the bishar mine poronius, the chol shaita havizim nayhu lemivtili, other types of devastations, where their elimination is desired at all times, afilu tvei gazrinon, even more than 13 we would impose. The Rebbe diomar ein matrichin stamo, when Rebbe said we don't trouble the community too much, he said it in an unqualified fashion, akulu koma, regarding all kinds of calamities. Vano, says Rav Ami, I d'amri k'Rebbe, I go like Rebbe, that more than 13 fasts, no matter what the issue is, even if it's another type of calamity, we don't trouble the community to fast. No more than 13. Before we continue in the Gemara, seeing a slash mark, we realize that this is a new discussion that follows. On the side, we have a Noseya topic heading, Mekoymos Michutz L'Eretz Yisrael, places outside of Israel, Shetzrichin Gishomim Bizmanim Shonim, that require rain at other times during the year. We've been discussing Sheilas Gishamim v'Saint Halumotar in the context primarily of Eretz Yisrael, where the rainy season is from after Cheshvan till Pesach. What about other places in the world where their situation is different? How should they conduct themselves with regard to the request for rain, the Vesein Tal Umotor passage? Is it B'Shomeat Fila Ki Yechidim? Is it a request that you would insert into the Shomeat Fila like any personal request that a person may have? That is the place to insert it. Or is it considered, since you're talking about another region, it's considered a real communal need, and in those places, so they would say it like we say it in Eretz Yisrael, in the bracha Birchas Hashanim. The Gemara now. Sholchu le'bnei Ninveh le'Rebbe. message or a question was sent from the community in Nineveh. Nineveh was in another country. It was in, part of a country of Ashur. It was outside of the land of Israel. They sent to Rebbe, Kagoin Anan, for example, us, Dafilu B'tkufas Tamuz Bo'inon Mitra, we require rain even in the summertime. Heifinavid, how should we conduct ourselves? Ki yachidim daminon, are we compared to daminon? Like the word is made of two words, is domi, anan. Domi means compared to us. Us, are we compared to yachidim, to individuals? Which would mean they inserted in Shemaiah Filig, more we'll explain that in a minute. Oy kerabim daminon, or do we have the status of a community? Ki yachidim daminon, even though we are a community, do we have the status of individuals, just a mass of individuals? And hence the addition of the Saint Talumotor, the rain request, would be in that bracha, the bracha Shema Tefillah, where personal requests are inserted. Oy kerabim dominan, or are we considered having the status of the public, of a community, of a general, a large public? And ubebirchas hashanim, for public, a public rain request would be in birchas hashanim, borei choleinu, in which we would insert the same tal umotar. So Rebbe answers, sholach lehu ki yachidim domisu, you are compared to individuals. Ubeshemeyat tefillin, you'll insert your rain request in that bracha. Meisvei, the Gemara raises an objection to Rebbe, Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Amosai, when do we have the series of fasts, as we've learned in the Mishnah, Bizman Shashonim Kitiknon V'Yisrael Shruin Al-Admoson. That's when things are normal. What does that mean? Normal, that the harvest is in Nisan, and the planting is in Cheshvan, and that's how things take place year after year. And the Jews are on their land in the land of Israel. Avol bizman hazeh hakol lefi hashonim hakol lefi hamakomos hakol lefi hazman. Everything then is changed. Is relative to where, what kind of year it is, where you're located, and the zman, the time. The main explanation to really appreciate this one looks at the Tosfos Hakol Lefi Hashonim. The last Tosfos says, "Im tzrichim oisei shana geshamim shishchuna." If it's a very dry year and they need rain, v'im tzrichim geshamim kivnei Nineveh, or if they need rain like in the community of Nineveh, shoyalim v'saint halamotar bebirchas hashonim. So from this Tosfos, we're able to get the pshat, the question, that this source represents an opinion that's, it's a Tanaic source that says that in Nineveh they would say the same Talamorto and Birchas Hashanim. What did Rebbe tell them in Shomei Tefillah? Hence we have a question. Omar Le, so he responds, he answers, Masnisa Romis Ole de Rebbe. Are you asking a question from a Brisa on Rebbe? Rebbe Tanahu Polig. Rebbe has the strength, the authority of a Tana. He's from the end of the Tanaic period, and he argues with that which is taught in this Tanaic source. So it's not considered a refutation of Rebbe just because a Tanaic source seems to say something other than Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe can argue. My Havi Allah. So the Gemara asks, what is the din? And in fact, you have a machlokus even on this later Amoraic level. Rav Nachman Omar Bebirchas Hashanim, a Nineveh situation warrants the same talumotar in Birchas Hashanim. Rav Sheshes Omar B'Shomea Tfila. The Hilchasan, the Gemara itself, rules B'Shomea Tfila. B'sheni matinim chashecho v'chamishi kol hayoyim mipnei kvod haShabbos. The Mishnah, this is of course a quote from the Mishnah regarding stores. It says that the stores business, of course, was reduced, commerce was reduced, and stores would be open. Now, again, the fast days are Monday, Thursdays, and that in an alternating Monday, Thursday fashion. And on Mondays, the Mishnah says the stores would matim, means the doors of the stores would be left a bit open toward evening, toward the end of the day, when people could then go and buy food. But on Thursdays, it says, the Mishnah says, kol hayom. Now on the side, under our nosei, our topic heading, we are here to lefaresh hodikotoni b'mishne legabi psichas chanuyos, that which it says in the Mishnah regarding the store openings, the opening of stores, uvachamishi kol hayom b'nei kvod haShabbos. It says in the Mishnah on Thursday all day because of the need to buy food for Shabbos. Now what does that mean? B'chamishi matin kol hayom, does that mean that on Thursdays the doors are left a bit ajar, slightly open, all day? Or maybe on Thursday the doors of the stores are left open completely all day. The Gemara, Ibayalo, Hechi Kotani. How is the Mishnah to be understood? What is it telling us? B'sheni matinim chashecha u'b'chamishi kol hayom. That on Mondays we'll just open, we'll leave the door ajar only toward evening. And on Thursdays, we'll leave it ajar, matin, all day. B'nekvod HaShabbos. Oy Dilma, or possibly the Mishnah says as follows. B'sheni matin, u'b'chamishi poischen kol hayom kulo. That on Thursday, the doors are left completely open, like normal, in a normal open fashion, because of Shabbos. So what is the story with regard to the Thursday store opening of the Mishnah? Toshma Desanyo. So we have a brisa that will be clearer. B'sheni matin ado erev. On Mondays, the stores are left open, they're just left ajar. Uvachamishi poischen kol hayom kulo mipnei kvod haShabbos. We dashed underline the main point, which is, as we said, the brisa is clearer than on Thursdays, the stores are completely open, are left, the doors are wide open. Hoyelo shnei psochim, if the store has two doors, poyseach echod v'noyel echod, one door is open and the other door is locked. Hoyelo itztabo keneged pischo, if the store has a chair or a stoop in front of it, an itztabo, Rashi describes the itztabo here as a kise, as a chair, then if the store is left wide open, it's not open directly into the public because the chair blocks it, and therefore as the source says, hoyo itzibo keneged pischo poseach kedark uvein choshish, then you can open it, the door completely wide, and you don't have to fear or worry that it would be an insult to the fast day. It's not open directly to the public because this chair is blocking the entrance. Therefore, the door itself you can open completely. Ovru elu v'lonenu mimatim b'masav umaton ubebinyan ubenetia. The Mishnah pointed out that if the fast days passed without them receiving rain, so there continues reduction in business, construction, and planting. And now the Gemara elaborates on these points. And the topic heading on the side under our nosei, Pirush Mimatim Bibinyan Minatiya Shel Simcha. We're going to explain that what that means. That we reduce construction and planting of joy. And the Gemara also will deal with the topic of Shela Shalom, greetings. The Gemara. Tana Bibinyan means Binyan Shel Simcha. The reduction of construction means joyful structures. Nidia is Nitiya Shel Simcha. Planting that we refrain from is plantings that are of a joyful nature. Ezehu Binyan Shel Simcha. What is meant by construction of joy? Ze Haboyne Beis Chasnas Livno. This would be someone who is building a marriage site for his son. Rashi says, "Beis chasnas lasos chuposo." He builds an apartment or a place, a location for his son to get married. So that's what you would not engage in, being that there is a drought and the fasting period is passed without response. Ezu netiyah shel, what is referred to by a planting of joy, ze hanoteya abavarniki shel melochim. Rashi has a couple of explanations of what a bavarniki is a reference to. But the first pshat that Rashi gives is that when a prince was born, the king had a son, so a tree was planted in his honor, and when that prince grows up to become a king, they would chop the tree down and make a throne from that wood. There's another explanation that Rashi talks about. It's a reference to trees that are planted for producing shade and comfort. Ubishela Shalom, the Mishnah said that we refrain from greeting one another because the drought continues and they haven't been answered from heaven. Tanu Rabbanan, Chaverim Ein Sheila Shalom Bineim. Chaverim is a reference to people that are knowledgeable, they're halachically informed, so they don't greet one another. This again, we're talking about a period of suffering, drought, fasting passed, not answered, no greetings from one to another. Amehoretz, if you're dealing with people that are ignorant, sheshoyalin, if an Amehoretz initiates a greeting, machzirin lohem besof harofel v'koyved rosh, in order to avoid enmity, so you do respond to them, but in a low voice and in a koyved rosh, in a tone of, or in a creating the appearance of seriousness. The hain misadfin v'yoshin k'avelim v'chemenudin k'bnei adam and ezofin l'mokom. And as far as continued conduct is concerned, they should sit in a misadfin means in wrapped around, cloaked, their heads covered, and they sit as if they were mourners and excommunicated. Like people that have found the wrath of heaven upon them, ad shirach malem shemin shemayim, until heaven has mercy on them. As we continue in the Gemara, a new geometric form appears, a series marking of, here we have triangles, and on the side under the mivneh we have the triangle is explained sidra shel meimer shel Rebbe Elazar, a series of Rebbe Elazar comments, and a few lines from now we'll see another shape that we'll introduce when we get to that. Omer Rebbe Elazar, Ein Adam Choshuv Rashoi Lipol Alponov, a person who is a man of distinction, a man of honor, a Torah scholar, he is not allowed to literally fall on his face. Lipol Alponov is a form of prayer where a person prostrates himself on the ground in a beseeching, in a prayerful fashion. So a person is not allowed to do that, Elohim kein nenek Yeshua ben Nun, unless he is confident that he will be answered like Yeshua ben Nun, the famous Yeshua, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was answered, Shenema vayomer Hashem el Yeshua, Kum loch lama ze'ata noifel al ponecha. After Yeshua had fallen on his face, the Almighty responded and said, "Get up," etc. The story continues there. But what we see from Yeshua is that his nefila sapayim, his noifel ponecha, was effective. However, if a person is not like that, he's not sure that his prayer will be answered, he's not of that level, so then he shouldn't do that. And Rashi gives an explanation, because if the public sees someone praying like that and he's not answered, so they will start demeaning him. Rashi says they'll start disparaging him, and no good will result from that. The Gemara continues. V'omer Rebbe Elazar, ein adam choshuv rashoi lachgor sak. A person who is a man of distinction cannot wear sackcloth. Again, this is a form of beseeching the Almighty. So one should not wear sackcloth, Elo im kenenek Yehoram ben Achav. Unless he knows, he'll be answered like in the story involving this individual, Yehoram ben Achav. Shenemar vayi kishmo hamelech es divrei ha'isha vayi kra es begodov. When the king, and Yehoram was a king, when he heard what the woman said to him, he tore his clothing. Over alachoma vayarom vine hasak al basaro. He, after he rent his clothing, he wore sackcloth, and that aroused the all of the people as well. So if a person doesn't feel he will be answered through that type of behavior, he shouldn't engage in it. V'yomer Rav Elazar. Now here we have a new marking. A diamond appears, and it highlights the expression loy hakol, not everybody. And we'll see what it's a number of different comments that aren't related to one another, but they all begin with the same opening. Hence, we felt that it's a series and worth highlighting. So Rav Elazar continues. V'yomer Rav Elazar, loy hakol b'kriya v'lo hakol b'nefila. Not all are answered through the tearing of clothing, nor are all answered. Not everyone is answered through nefila, through what we described before, nefila sapayim. Moshev Aaron b'nefila yoshuv v'kolev b'kriya. We find that Moshe and Aaron were answered through nefila, and Yeshua was answered through the rending of clothing. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila, tichti v'yipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneihem. They had fallen on their faces in prayer, and they were answered. Yeshua v'kolev b'kriya, tichti Yeshua b'nun, v'kolev ben Yefune kor'u b'gdehem. A couple words are skipped here in the Gemara quote, but that's the gist of the pasuk. Now, you should note that the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu was Perek Yudalit in Sefer B'midbar Pasuk Hey, and this Yeshua quote, the quote concerning Yeshua, is from the next pasuk Vav. Now, this incident took place upon hearing the report of the spies that were sent into the land of Israel, and they came back with their problematic report, and the nation, upon hearing their report, did not want to continue going into Eretz Yisrael. So this was the reaction of Moshe Aaron and Yoshua, like we saw in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rabbi Zeira v'itemer Shmuel bar Nachmani. And we've double underlined this because we point this out on the side, and that's because these same names, you have Rabbi Zeira and another version of Rabbi Shmuel, they question Rabbi Elazar's teaching in the accuracy of what he teaches, and the focus you'll see is on the letter Vav that appears in the Pasuk. This type of critique on the part of Rabbi Zeira appears here, and on a subsequent statement that we see, you could see on the top of Tes Vav Amud Aleph, concerning another comment of Rav Elazar. So structurally, you see something similar taking place. So Rabbi Zeira, some say Rav Shmuel, ask, "I have ksiv Yehoshua without the Vav." Then kidako amris, then I would agree with what you said, that that Yeshua's method of so his reaction was a reaction through tearing of clothing only. Hashiv si v'Yoshua, the Vav connects the Pasuk, which is Pasuk Vav, to that which was stated in Pasuk Hey. Now in Pasuk Hey, reference was made to Nefila al Paneim of Moshe and Aaron. So, and it says here, the Vav connecting Yoshua to them, ha v'ha Ovid. Yoshua, not only did he fall on his face in reaction to what took place, but he also tore his clothing. He did both. V'yomer Rav Elazar, lo hakol b'kima v'lo hakol b'shtachavoya. The expression lo hakol b'kima, Rashi explains that on the top of Tes Vav Amud Aleph. This has to do with in the future, not in the future. We're talking here about the time of redemption of the Jewish people, and those who are going to come to greet the Jewish people upon their geula, their final redemption. So not all will greet them the kima through rising, standing up. And veloha kol b'shtachavu, and not all will greet them through bowing. Melachim, kings, b'kima. It's enough for a king to stand up. He is, kings are important individuals. They're at the height of importance. So they don't have to belittle themselves through the act of bowing. It's enough that they stand up, they rise in honor of the Jewish people. Vesara ministers, b'shtachavoya. They will bow. And the sources for this, Melachim Bekima, Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Koyamar Hashem, Goyel Yisrael, Kedoshoi. We continue at the top of Tesvav Amid Aleph, Livzoi Nefesh, Limsoev Goy, Leeved Moishlim, Melachim Yiru, Vakamu. And the Pasuk goes on to say, at the end of the line, you can see, Sorim, V'yishtachavu. So the Pasuk that we've read till this point mentions that Melachim Yiru Vokamu, the kings will see and they will rise. And the other point was Vesorim Vishtachavoya, Dichtiv, the continuation of the Pasuk says, Sorim Vishtachavu. So that the nation of Israel, who up till that point were a disparaged nation that was ruled over by slaves, will then be honored by kings and ministers. And now, how do the ministers honor the Jews? By bowing. And that's what Rabbi Elazar teaches. Maskif lo Rabbi Zeir v'itemer Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Again, he questions this, and again you'll see the issue focuses on the letter Vav. I havaksiv Visarim Yishtachavu, had the Pasuk been phrased that way, which it's not, then I would agree with what you said. Hashta Dichtiv Sorim V'yishtachavu. Here, notice the Vav is after the word Sorim. It's Sorim V'yishtachavu. That indicates Ha V'ha Avud, that the ministers will bow and get up and rise. They'll do both in honor of the Jews upon their redemption. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok af ani omer. I also have something to say. Lo hakol le'oiro, lo hakol le'simcha. That in the future, not all are going to benefit from the divine light, and not all will be subject to joy. Now, this is a topic that has its true explanation in the called the mystical literature in areas that are beyond the realm of Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiurim. But we'll try our best in term at the translation level and leave the rest to you to research. So he continues by pointing out Tzadikim Le'oira, the Tzadikim, which are the righteous, will merit the or the divine light, the Yishorim Lesimcha, and the Yishorim, here we'll just literally translate it, the Yishorim are the straight ones. We highly recommend anyone who has the ability and the occasion to look into the introduction of the great Nitziv, the Nitziv of Alojin, who wrote a commentary on the Chamisha Chumshei Torah that we call the Hemek Dovar, to look at his introduction to Sefer Bereishis. Throughout the rabbinic literature, Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYoshar. And why it's called Sefer HaYoshar, so he has an explanation as to the term Yeshorim. Apparently, you can see from this Gemara, there are two terms. There's Tzadikim is one thing, and Yeshorim is something else. So in order to gain greater clarity on that, we recommend looking at the Nitziv commentary. But for our purposes, they're both categories of pious individuals. However, there's one group called Tzadikim, another called Yesharim, the upright ones. They are Zochet to Simcha. Tzadikim Le'oiro, the Tzadikim merit the divine glow, the divine light, Dechtiv Or Zorua LaTzadik. Uli Yesharim Simcha Dechtiv, the Pasuk goes on to say, Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. Now, according to Rashi, Yishrei Lev, or Yesharim, are greater than Tzadikim. However, I saw the Marsha quotes the Rishon, the Rashba, who disagrees, who says that Tzadikim are on a higher pedestal than the Yesharim. Of course, it's up to anyone who's listening to our shir, who wants to research this topic further, to look into the Mara Makomas that we suggested, and of course, to go further than that as well. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.